It's time now for our weekly Common Health segment, and this week we're talking about teenage girls and a rarely discussed health issue that plagues many of them each year, endometriosis. We'll explain precisely what that is in just a moment. Doctors estimate that about 6 million American women suffer from the condition, which often brings about severe pelvic pain, among other symptoms. Rachel Zimmerman, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, is with us. And Rachel, let's start by describing what endometriosis is exactly.
Well, Anthony, endometriosis occurs when cells that normally grow in the lining of the uterus, these are called endometrial cells, start growing in other parts of the body, typically the abdominal cavity, the ovaries, fallopian tubes, bowel, bladder, or in the area between the vagina and the rectum, for instance. So this tissue grows into lesions, and these lesions can become extremely painful, as you mentioned. They can cause scarring, inflammation. In its advanced stages, endometriosis can result in infertility.
Hmm. And from what I understand, Rachel, from what you reported, endometriosis can be very difficult to diagnose, right? Why is that?
Well, the lesions don't often come up on scan, so that's one reason why a definitive diagnosis is difficult. But more broadly, for this population that we're discussing, teenagers, they don't like to talk about their pelvic pain. I mean, I'm old. I talk about my various aches and pains all the time with my friends. But for teenagers, they don't want to stand out. They don't want to feel different. So to start talking about pain below their belly button, it's just they want to minimize pain. So it tends to take a long time before these girls go to a doctor who can recognize what they have and get adequate treatment.
Now, you spoke with 15-year-old Emily Hatch about her experience with the disease. Emily says she felt a stabbing pain below her belly button when she was 13. That's when it began. It took 7 doctors, 18 months for her to finally be diagnosed with endometriosis. Let's listen to her describe the process.
I had upper endoscopies, I had colonoscopies, they couldn't find anything. I was on all these different medications, none of them helped. Actually, a lot of them worsened my symptoms. I never found like a true answer until we went to Dr. Laufer.
That's 15-year-old Emily Hatch. She mentioned Dr. Mark Laufer, who was chief of gynecology at Children's Hospital Boston and the Center for Infertility and Reproductive Surgery at Brigham and Women's Hospital. And Dr. Laufer joins us now. Welcome to you, Dr. Laufer.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
So you were the one who finally diagnosed Emily. You performed surgery that helped alleviate some of her pain. We heard that she went to 7 doctors before she found you. Is that typical? And why is this so hard to recognize?
The reason is I think there's a lot of overlap of symptoms in that pelvic pain or abdominal pain can be from a number of different etiologies. And specifically in the adolescent population, it may not be associated with menstrual cycles as it is more commonly in adult women.
And Dr. Laufer, how do you help these women? We mentioned surgery. What happens during surgery? What do you actually do?
So during a surgical procedure, we have 2 goals. One is to see if the disease is present, and it requires specific techniques for adolescent endometriosis to be identified because it looks different than it does in older adult women. Once we find the lesions, we try to destroy or remove the lesions that we can see. Unfortunately, no matter how thorough we are, we cannot destroy or remove all the lesions, and so there is no surgical cure for endometriosis.
Hmm. And if left untreated, what happens? How serious can this become?
If left untreated, the disease can stay the way it is or it can progress. It can cause pain. It can cause sharp or dull pain. It can cause pain that's either cyclic or constant. It can also cause bowel and bladder symptoms. If it continues to grow, then some percentage of women may develop issues relating to difficulty conceiving.
Hmm. Rachel, let me come back to you. You spent a good deal of time with Emily Hatch and her mother. I understand it was very hard for Emily to decide to discuss her struggles with the disease. Tell us about that.
Right. Well, as we discussed, she's a typical teenager. She's a lovely, open, genuine young woman, and she didn't really want to call attention to herself. On the other hand, she was very frustrated by the process of going from one doctor to another. And she, in the end, I think, felt that if she could share her experience and help other young girls more quickly diagnose and treat their own endometriosis, that would be a good thing.
Hmm. And Dr. Laufer, does that explain, in part at least, why endometriosis tends to fall through the cracks among this population of younger women?
I think there are a couple reasons why teenagers have a problem. One is, as Rachel points out, their age and not wanting to talk about gynecologic issues. But in addition, not all pediatricians are comfortable dealing with gynecologic issues, and a lot of adult gynecologists aren't comfortable taking care of 11, 12, and 13-year-old girls.
And can I just add something? Something Dr. Laufer also told me, that he's actually treated girls as young as 8 years old for this. So I think it's important that people are aware that if your young daughter has pelvic pain, this is something to look into.
Rachel, what's next for Emily? How does she manage the disease day to day?
Well, Emily now takes hormone pills that essentially prevent her from getting her period until she wants to have a baby. To control her pain flare-ups, which she still does suffer from, Emily continues to do physical therapy. She goes to the Children's Hospital Pain Clinic several times a week. She also does a variety of other sort of stress reduction, pain reduction techniques. She does Reiki. She does cognitive behavioral therapy and acupressure.
Wow. Well, we wish her all the best. That's Rachel Zimmerman, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Rachel, thanks so much for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Anthony.
And Dr. Mark Laufer, chief of gynecology at Children's Hospital Boston and the Center for Infertility and Reproductive Surgery at Brigham and Women's Hospital. Thank you for joining us as well, Dr. Laufer.
Thank you very much.
And you can learn more about endometriosis and find a link to Rachel's story at radioboston.org.
Up next, witnesses talked about it in the Mattapan murder trial. We'll take a look at what the rules are, real or imaginary, of the code of the streets. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.